When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
And it is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. It is another edition of Kabali and Mac following the first day of 2025 mandatory minicamp. He is veteran Steelers reporter and correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show. He is Mark Kabali. I'm just some dude in a basement with a microphone, Chris Mack. Follow us on X, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere, at Kabali and Mack, especially on YouTube, where we're rapidly approaching 1,700 subscribers. But if you get in before 2,500, make sure you're subscribed to Kabali on Mack, Kabali and Mack on YouTube. It's early for me. I can't talk this morning. Jesus, I'm still on Pacific time, back from a long weekend. And Kaboom has been patiently waiting to hear me stumble over my words. If you subscribe on YouTube before we get to 2,500 subscribers, be one of the first 2,500. You will be eligible to win that autographed Paul Skeens baseball when we get there. Rodgers is here. And not just is he here, he's practicing day one of the Aaron Rodgers era. We'll break it all down. There was somebody who was not there. You know who I'm talking about. I won't try and be cute about it. TJ Watt. Yes, cover up the TJ on the hat, Kaboom. Keep wearing it. Yeah. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for presenting Kabali and Mac. Is that a hanky you have there that you just covered the TJ on your hat with?
It's every time you stumble over something, I'm going to throw the red challenge flag.
Thanks to the Dan Heck team. Heck, H-A-E-C-K, teamhomes.com. Dan and the entire team waiting to help you buy the home of your dreams, or sell the one that you need to get out of, whatever you're doing. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, any kind of real estate in the Pittsburgh area, the Dan Heck team, the ones to help take care of you. HeckTeamHomes.com, the key to your next door. It's June 11th. As I mentioned, I think this is episode 64, Jeff Harding's. Any other big 64s that I can't remember, Kaboom?
Doug Ligursky.
Oh, Ligursky. That's right. Ligursky. Super Bowl champ, Doug Ligursky.
That has to be a good, you know, almost Jack Sawinski. Close. I'll be later this week. Episode Jack Sawinski.
Sawinski. Episode 64 brings us Aaron Rodgers' first appearance on the South Side. Not just a mini camp practice, but then about a 15-minute meeting with the media post-practice, all five dozen or so members of the local and national media who were present, as Kaboom rolls his eyes because they all got in his way. What?
A lot of people, man. Most people I've ever seen at a Steelers facility dating back to probably AFC Championship week, and that's been obviously, what, 15 years ago. There's people coming out the wazoo. What is a wazoo, by the way?
It's a good question. If something's coming out your wazoo, is that good or bad if something's coming out of your wazoo?
Yeah, but put it this way. It's better if it comes out than stays in.
You know what? That's a good way to look at it. I appreciate that. All right. So Aaron Rodgers on the South Side. Thanks as well. I didn't stumble. You can't throw a red flag for
every time
that.
You have a bad take.
Bad take. Well, get lots of flags ready in that case. There's very little to complain about. I thought he handled himself well. I wasn't there to see the practice, obviously. You were. But handled himself well with the media. We'll let you hear and see some of the comments here in just a couple of moments. Thanks to our good friends at Southwest Greens as well for being a part of the show and sponsoring Kabali and Mac. Our guy Jake, there to help you. You got to cut the grass, but then it rains for 3 days straight. Oh, but then you got to spray stuff on it so that you don't get a bunch of weeds. Oh, but then you got to do this and that and water it and all the other. Forget about it. Get a beautiful artificial lawn from Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. It'll be the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of work involved. PA.com, southwestgreenspa.com. We thank them for sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. So Rodgers shows up, and I won't play the clip of this question and answer, but I find it not silly, because it's not silly. One of the big questions surrounding Aaron Rodgers and why he did not sign earlier, why maybe he wasn't in town other than the quick visit back in March, was, what's going on, Aaron? What's going on in your life that you can't commit to the team yet? And there was a ring on the finger, which Brooke Pryor of ESPN asked if it was one of those fancy Aura rings, you know, the one that like tracks your steps and all that kind of, your sleep and all that kind of stuff. And he said, no, I'm married. So there's your personal intrigue question out of the way, Kaboom.
Ooh, I wouldn't have been able to live without it. It's just, I mean, on one side of it, it's just silly. Who cares if he's, are you asking, DK Metcalf or Alex Highsmith if he's married? But you look, and most of the stories or leads this morning were, Aaron Rodgers is married. Yay.
Well, I mean, he did say he had stuff going on in his personal life that he wanted to sort out so that he could be fully committed to the offseason process. Maybe that was part of it. Yeah. Maybe there was other stuff going on. I don't know if it really matters now since he is here now. But there you go. We got that part of it out of the way, right?
All right. Thanks for showing up today. We're done for the day. He's married.
You're so annoyed by it.
I
my favorite part of the whole.
I understand. I guess I understand the question. I wouldn't be cutting it asking it. Nah. Like I said, if you just Google Aaron Rodgers and married, it's probably like everywhere right now. So I guess it interests some people, but it just maybe just doesn't interest me.
Well, again, it was one of the big things that was talked about in so much as why he wasn't here. So, okay, it's done. It's out of the way. And I guess we can move on to other things like why he actually is here in Pittsburgh. And he was asked about that. He was asked about why is he still in Pittsburgh, what his motivation is. And he basically said, listen, I'm here because of, not completely because of, but a big part of it is Mike Tomlin. And people hate to hear this, including a lot of Steelers fans, but Mike Tomlin does attract players. Players do want to play for Mike Tomlin. And even though Aaron purposely threw Omar Khan's name into the mix as well when talking about the whole process of coming to Pittsburgh, why he wanted to be here, the interactions with everybody before he officially signed, it sounded like, Kaboom, Mike Tomlin was the primary driving force here for Aaron Rodgers wanting to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, he was the point man.
I don't have a video clip. You got to just talk about it.
Yeah.
What?
I thought you were just going to, you said you were going to play a video clip?
No, I said I don't have the clip ready. So you got to just talk about how he talked about Mike Tomlin. Another red challenge flag, I know. Too long a weekend for me.
I think Mike Tomlin did play the old point man on this whole situation. Rodgers even mentioned that he gave Tomlin a call earlier last week and informed him he'd be in to sign his deal. And I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's just he's just a different type of person when it's dealing with players, and he knows how to interact with them and engage with them. But this is nothing new. We've been heard this for, we've heard stuff like this for 18 years now. And he gets attracted. Players get attracted to the Steelers because of Mike Tomlin. What he says, what he tells them, how he says them, how he's real about them. Now, that marriage might go sour for some people within a year or so, but he's able to get people here. And what it sounded like to me, if there was no Mike Tomlin, there's no Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think that was pretty much point blank, period, on that point.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that was, I mean, you've talked about it. Other people have mentioned how those two were in constant contact and communication with one another, that if Mike Tomlin isn't the one maybe texting Aaron Rodgers, keeping in close contact. He did talk about all the other connections he has to the team. And there are more than a few, but Mike Tomlin was the driving force. And I've heard other people, Lewis Riddick included, say that these two teams needed each other, right? Because of the way the first week of free agency went and how Justin Fields left for New York and the Steelers didn't have any other viable options and Aaron Rodgers wasn't exactly getting a lot of sniffs in the early going of free agency because people weren't impressed by the way things went in New York. You can term it that way if you want. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers needed each other. I got the sense that it was a little bit more about Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers, maybe Mike Tomlin specifically, but the Steelers organization coming together and deciding they actually wanted each other. Like, Aaron Rodgers was looking for a spot to finish his career, and the Steelers were looking for a veteran quarterback who might still have a few shots of lightning in his arm, and they wanted to come together. It seems like, I don't want to say that was the plan all along, because we can question whether they actually carried out their original plan or not. I don't know if they, before free agency even opened, said, oh no, we really want Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers said, oh, I really want to be a Steeler. But that's the way they're making it sound. At least Aaron Rodgers is making it sound after yesterday.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of things had to happen before you got to that point. Obviously, the Jets didn't want him. Obviously, some things had to happen in Pittsburgh to allow that to happen. But I can see where Lewis Riddick says these two are a good marriage together. Maybe not bringing them together, but I think now since they're here, I think you got one of one right here. These two guys are very similar in Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. They both respect each other, and that's why I think early on Mike Tomlin was asked, is Aaron Rodgers QB1, is there going to be a competition? Nah, Aaron's number one. That's when you say that, will they ever pull Aaron Rodgers? Nah, they're not pulling Aaron Rodgers. And you can debate on if this is the great best way to go, keep changing year in and year out with veteran quarterbacks, but this is a plan that they have until they find that dude. And it's not easy to find that dude. It took them, 18 years to go from Terry Bradshaw to Ben Roethlisberger. So it takes some time. I mean, there's some team organizations that have never found themselves a franchise quarterback. So to continue to be able to put your people in there like Aaron Rodgers, I think they'll work together. And the first thing I get from Aaron Rodgers is, man, just the aura around him, the winning vibe. I mean, it's undeniable to me just how he carries himself. It's like, whoa, this dude's a little bit different without even having to say a word. Maybe it's because we know his resume. If he can only play as half as well as he portrays himself, not portrays himself, but how he carries himself, I think they're in a pretty good situation right now because you can tell he's a winner, man. He's a darn winner. Well, that's
what you mentioned that. Yeah, you mentioned that in writing about it yesterday, that, you know, the guy walks in, and look, he's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. He's a Super Bowl winner. He's a four-time league MVP. He gets the, what'd you call it, the prime real estate, the corner locker, the double corner locker in Roethlisberger corner.
I'm not quite sure if he knows there's like a secret passageway right next to it that he can go back into the
Batcave.
back into the weight room. I don't know if they Ben used to just sneak in there and go back. Yeah, that's prime real estate there, man. That's a double locker already, corner double locker. He gets prime real estate. But he, not only that, Mac, I mean, I'm just talking about some of these young dudes like saying, dude, that's Aaron Rodgers. Dude, that's yeah. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that might eventually wear off once you get to know him. But these guys are looking out, like, you know, Darnell Washington sitting there and catching some balls. And Aaron Rodgers comes up to him and says, big man, you're the best tight end I've seen since Mercedes Lewis. Not Mercedes Lewis. Yeah, was it him?
Yeah, that's what he said. Mercedes, yeah.
It's like, holy cow. I mean, what do you think Darnell Washington's feeling like right about now?
That was one of the things I thought was really interesting about Rodgers in talking with the media yesterday. Like, people, like myself included, made a big deal about any missed snap during the offseason is a missed opportunity to gain some chemistry with the guys, right? And develop a rapport. But he very clearly wanted to point out that he already has a number of good relationships within the building. He mentioned Tom Arth, obviously, a couple of times. Mentioned Arthur Smith and how they're going to work together. That clip I actually have to make sure we play towards the end when he was asked about running the offense. Didn't take kindly to pursuit his question there, I don't think. But we'll get to it in a second.
What the hell?
He didn't say what the hell, but his face said what the hell. The fact that he went out of his way to mention guys by name and that he already had some sort of rapport with them. He talked about DK and how much he'd been talking to him, about Pat blowing up his DMs, Pat Freiermuth. He mentioned Darnell Washington. You just mentioned it in comparing him, just his size and his physical ability to Mercedes Lewis, who he called an all-time great. He even mentioned Connor Hayward by name, right? So he wants to make sure that everybody understands that even though the names aren't on the back of the jerseys during practice and there's no placards on the meeting rooms yet, so he's still kind of finding his way in the building, he knows the people. And I don't know if he did that on purpose or not. He's a smart guy. He knows how to position himself in the media. But I thought it was interesting that he did it. Whether he meant to or not doesn't really matter. He went out of his way to mention certain guys by name and say, hey, I do have a rapport with these guys without saying it.
Yeah, I mean, and this is his first day in actually a facility with other players. He's going to try to put together an off-season throwing session probably in Malibu where, I mean, we've seen that happen from year to year regardless of the quarterbacks. If it was Bennett, was whoever else. Who else were they with? Russell maybe? Mm-hmm. I mean, they've always had to do that, so you'll be able to gain more rapport that way. I mean, right now, I mean, he has missed nothing. He's not going to do anything right here. I mean, you don't want your 41-year-old quarterback going out there and throwing 110 passes during a mini camp or a OTA. So he really hasn't missed anything. But, you know, I still just like the way that he just brings that everybody, for some reason, everybody in that locker room pretty much knows, hey, that's a four-time MVP. Yeah. That might seem remedial to me and you because that's what we do. We look up stats, but these guys don't pay attention to stats like that, but they know this guy. They know that, as Mike Tomlin said numerous times, go look up his resume. Go Google his resume.
Google me, bitch.
He should have said, go ask Jeeves his resume, but he blew that one.
Ask Jeeves. All those old search engines that don't exist anymore. No, you're right, though. Like, even if they don't know the resume necessarily off the tops of their heads, because some of them were just born when this guy's career started, let's be honest, they've grown up watching him play because these are football guys, right? 98% of the guys that play at the NFL level are football guys. They've grown up watching the game, and Rodgers is a guy that at the very least they've been watching on television since playing football since they were a kid. And so there is a certain something about that. He's not just, I'm curious to see how, like you said, how that shakes out over the course of not just this week, because it's only a couple of days of practice, but once they get to training camp and once the bullets start to fly and they're in the middle of games, do they get over maybe that aura, or are there still some guys that maybe are in awe of it a little bit? I think once you get out there and you start playing, it's just football and it's just the guy throwing you the ball happens to be named Aaron Rodgers, but you hope that maybe some guys don't get caught up in that and in looking at it like, oh, that's Aaron Rodgers throwing me the football. We're like, hey, that's just the guy throwing me the ball.
Will Howard was pretty much giddy. My goodness, I'm sitting next to Aaron Rodgers, but that's understandable being a quarterback for that situation. Now, I mean, I don't think that will ever go away totally. And we're sitting here talking up Aaron Rodgers and how he portrayed himself yesterday to the media is what he needed to do. And I don't think he was putting on a show or anything. Now the big thing is taking that next step. Can you play?
Yeah.
That's the question. That's going to be the determining factor of everything here. And I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he can't. The one thing that he threw some – I mean, he did a lot of individuals. I guess some individual throws, nothing more than 8 to 10 yards down the field. And the first thing that jumped out of me was, my goodness, look at the freaking quick release on this guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, boom. I mean, he's still in his drop, and it's like, balls out. Like, whoa. I mean, Mason Rudolph had more pace and maybe more accuracy, but man, that guy can get rid of it. But you look at his numbers and you wonder why he can, his throw time is so low, because he can get rid of the ball. And that's when the first thing I noticed, maybe the only thing I noticed about it, really.
What do you think the reasoning was for why Mike Tomlin kept him out of the team sessions? Just, hey, like he said, I just want you to get more acclimated to things. I mean, I could see Mike Tomlin looking at it too and say, hey, we're going to have 60 people here, 2/3 of them with cameras running at the time. I don't want to put Aaron in a situation where, because it's his first day with a lot of these guys, he maybe misfires, and we've got to hear about that on all the talk shows for the next 24 hours. Let's just use him in individuals and let him get up to speed.
I don't think he cares about that. I think he just wants to have him mentally ready for July. He knows in his eyes, he knows he can do it physically. He knows he can make the throws. He knows what to do. He just needs to know quickly of where to be able. He has to learn the offense. And he thought that's a way he should be able to learn the offense. He said, I'll go out there and throw. I don't really care. But Mike said, no, but plus, once again, do you want to even risk anything at mini camp, even if it's a drop or anything? No, he sat there, he's talking to Arthur Smith, talking to Tarmarth, had the helmet upside his ear, listening to the play call, looking at it, and trying to learn the offense. A lot of it was similar, a little bit of different terminology, but I could see him jumping in there maybe today for a rep or two of team oriented stuff, maybe on Thursday, but it's not going to be anything significant.
Of the many questions he was asked during that 15-minute meeting with the large throng of media, one of them was just, what's the goal here, Aaron, in coming to Pittsburgh for 1 year, maybe? This clip's actually going to play, I think.
I want to enjoy the game. The game's given me a ton. It's hard to think of anything in my life that's positive that wasn't impacted by directly or indirectly by playing this game. So I just want to give love back to the game, enjoy, pass on my knowledge to my teammates, and try and find ways to help lead the team.
So he's just here to have fun. That was a term he used. He wants to have fun. He's doing it for the love of the game. I don't know, and this will be something to see maybe if he struggles at times or they lose a couple of games and he doesn't play his best. I'm sure he understands, and he told everybody that he understands the tradition, basically, of Steelers football and what it means in this city, and he wants to get a 7th ring for the city. He mentioned that as well. If he goes in there and maybe plays with some of the freedom, and I don't want to call it less pressure because he's still Aaron Rodgers, and there's an immense amount of pressure on him just being Aaron Rodgers and people wanting to see him fail. But I'm curious to see if he just goes in there and plays free or freer maybe than he did at times in New York and towards the end of his time in Green Bay, if that maybe injects some new life into this guy and we see a little, you know, more of those flashes like I've talked about than we saw in the 2 years in, or the year and a half in New York and the last year or two in Green Bay. If we see a little bit more of that this year, because I don't want to say he doesn't have any F's left to give, but maybe he doesn't. And he is just out there to kind of have fun, play the game, and whatever good comes of it, comes of it. Like there's, if there's less pressure on Rodgers, I think it's better for him. What happens if he struggles a bit and people start to, Steeler fans have never called for the backup quarterback before. If people start to get, you know, maybe frustrated, I'll be curious to see what happens then. But right now, at least, it seems like he's just kind of carefree is not the word, but that's the feeling I'd go with.
Yeah, I did a mailbag the other day, and about 10 people asked me, is he going to be there to help Will Howard? Like, this is what you get out of Aaron Rodgers signing. You're worried about Will Howard's development because of Aaron Rodgers. We can hold back on a year on that just for now. Rodgers, I mean, I think maybe we didn't even put enough emphasis of him saying, I just want to go out there and have fun. You play a lot better when you're having fun. When you're out, when you're doing anything and having fun doing it, you're going to perform better. It just never looked like he had fun in New York.
No.
It just never did. It was a disaster of an organization, a disaster of an ownership. He did not, or at least in my perspective, did not respect Robert Saleh. Unlike maybe this head coach, that's just 180-degree turn here.
So. I guarantee there won't be a moment, Mark, where he comes to the sideline after throwing a touchdown pass and Mike Tomlin goes to congratulate him or dap him up or whatever it may be, and he shoves him away like he did Saleh that one night.
Yeah. So as long as he's having fun, and it sounds like that's his goal. I'm sure there's more than that. It's just being his goal. I'm sure he would love to go out there and prove that he can still be able to play at a high level and at least go out on his own. I'm sure he wants to stick it to the Jets a little bit too, especially after what he told McAfee's, what was it, a couple months ago, that meeting he had with the Jets. I can't sit well with you. Anybody, let alone a first ballot Hall of Famer, like, okay, you don't want me?
Right.
I'll show you. And I can't wait till week one, and I'm going to shove it up your arse, as you would say.
Arse. So,
I think it's a good start to everything right now. But, I mean, we could be looking back on this in a couple months and saying, what in the hell are we talking about? This guy just doesn't have it. I mean, stage one, I think he passed with flying colors. Now when we move on to stage two here and the actual performance and actually the ability to play the quarterback position would be stage two, then be able to tune into games and be able to win teams and lead teams would be stage three. So I think stage one is a complete success, but there's still a couple of stages left.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, going to be interesting to see what happens if he's not able to do what he may feel he's still able to do, right? Like the first time he goes out there and struggles, or the offense goes three and out on a couple of drives in the first quarter, and everybody's going to be talking about, does Aaron Rodgers mesh with an Arthur Smith offense, and what's the relationship between those two? And he was kind of asked indirectly about running the offense. We mentioned this earlier by Mike Pursuta, who suggested that maybe Aaron Rodgers would just sort of take his ball and run with it at one point. I don't think Aaron was a big fan of that question, but here's his answer. I promise.
Gotta take over when you see fit.
I don't understand that last term, take over when I see fit. I mean, I've called some 2 minutes over the years, but the idea that somehow I need to or have spent most of my career playing outside of an offensive system is just not correct. So I'm gonna learn the offense. And Arthur and I are going to talk a bunch this summer. And if there's some things that I like that I'd like to see in the offense, Arthur, I'm sure, is going to put it in. But he knows how to call a game. I know how to get us in the right spot based on what's called. There's two or three plays called in the huddle sometimes. My job is to get us in the right place.
Yeah.
Do you see that big sigh? You're like, yeah. I really want to be a dick here, but I better not.
Day one. I better not flame somebody on day one. He's very adamant that he's going to work with Arthur Smith on this offense. He mentioned at another point, hey, you know, it's going to take me a few weeks to fully convert, you know, a lot of the formations and phrasing in my head. But it's very similar to some of the other offenses I've been in. But there was very careful to say, no, it's Arthur's offense and I'm going to work within it. I still think in those 2-minute situations, like he referenced there, you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's won 4 MVPs and you bring him in at the end of his career, not so he can take, you know, minute details through his headset from the OC, regardless of who it is. You have him so that when you do need to march 65, 70 yards at the end of a half or a game to get into field goal range or to get 6, you want him to be the one not calling the shots maybe, but running the offense. And if he sees something different than the OC sees from the sideline, then go with it. You're the future Hall of Fame quarterback. I think, you know, he needs to be comfortable with the fact that he's here for, that's part of the reason he's here.
Yeah, I don't think there's no doubt that that will happen, but that can happen throughout the entire game. As he mentioned, if you got 2 or 3 different play calls, I mean, that's something that's not going to go away. Maybe his arm goes away, maybe his legs go away, but knowing what play of the 2 or 3 that's in the huddle, and he looks at the defense and say, check, check, whatever, to know which one gets him in the best situation to be successful, you don't lose that. Instead, I mean, you get better with age with that, and that's where he's at right now. But as for the suggestion that he works outside of what the offensive system was, man, that reeked of me of him saying, man, I've been hearing this for years now, and what the hell are these people talking about? And it's really starting to bother me that people think that I'm just a selfish player, that I'm not a guy that just can be coached and listen to the coaches. That sounded like to me that this is something that's been brewing for years now, and he's heard it. And he's just like, Jesus, man, why are these people saying this about me? I mean, that's not the truth. It's not the truth. That's what he's saying.
I get it, but that's something, again, he's going to have to learn to deal with. The first time they lose, I don't know, 27-17, and he throws the ball 45 times, and maybe it looks a little less like an Arthur Smith offense, there's going to be the question of, oh, was Aaron calling things? Was he trying to do too much? I mean, we said the same things about Ben for much of his career, right? Especially towards the end when he had his struggles. You know, oh, Ben's trying to do everything on his own. He's calling the plays out there. Okay, that's a good point. And I think Ben was doing that to a large extent late in his career. But Aaron Rodgers is going to have to learn to deal with people looking for that thread, whether it's because of him or just because of the way we as Steeler fans maybe have become accustomed to seeing this offense run, or for lack of a better term, not run, over the last half decade or so. Like when the offense sputters and there are struggles, and there will be some, you know, they're not going to go out and score 28, 30 points every week. It's just not going to happen with this offense. There are going to be questions about whether he and Arthur Smith are actually meshing and coming together well.
Yeah, I think Arthur Smith's smart enough to know what you're dealing with here. You're dealing with a first ballot Hall of Famer. So if you have to defer to him on some things, I mean, most all offensive coordinators do that anyways. They're like, hey, in this case, Aaron, what do you like? Do you want this? I want to do this. What do you think? They throw things back and forth, just not between Arthur Smith and the quarterback. It's probably a lot of the staff too. Eddie Faulkner's in there. So they'll all come to a conclusion or a plan week to week here, but it's still within the umbrella of how they want to run their offense. Not quite sure how they want to run their offense right now.
That's what I was going to say. How do they want to run the offense?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell because I don't think they have a full a complement of receivers that they're going to have in September right now. Let's hope if you got Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Roman Wilson, who, interestingly enough, probably had his worst day of practice yesterday with Aaron Rodgers around. Maybe he has the case of the old nerves.
Maybe.
But I don't know what they really want to do. You don't really want to say, okay, Aaron Rodgers, hand the ball off 74 times a game and let the defense win it. You got DK. What you're good at, Aaron, is throwing the ball on time, quick, slants across the middle, get it to that big monster 6'5". DK Metcalf and let him bowl through some people. So you're going to have to at least throw the ball. But you can't tell right now, of course. You'll have to, during the preseason, be able to figure that out. But I would imagine it's going to be somewhat different than it was last year.
I mean, he's got a bunch of tight ends to work with. He talked up some of them during that media availability. And he can still work the middle of the field. Maybe not deep down the middle. Maybe he can. I don't know. But he can work. This will be the first time I think they've had a quarterback who can effectively utilize the middle of the field the way any offense, especially an Arthur Smith offense with these kind of tight ends, should want to utilize the middle of the field since probably pre-Roethlisberger arm injury.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I remember what I see from Rodgers is, do you remember maybe the Bengals game? Maybe a decade ago, Antonio Brown, zero coverage, quick slant, takes it to the house to win the game. That's Aaron Rodgers' bread and butter to me. On time, quick, across the middle. And you'll be able to open some of that up with the run game as well. So, plus his play action, man, that's elite. He has some elite play action, but you're going to have to be able to run the ball to be able to get people to – buy into the play action. So it's just a whole work in progress. I think they're better off than they are right now than last year. I mean, are they a playoff caliber team? Yeah. Are they a Super Bowl caliber team? No. I mean, I don't think any of us are saying that, but that's nothing wrong with that right now. I mean, to have Aaron Rodgers on the team, have this team turned over roster-wise like it is, and have an opportunity to win 10, 11 games and get in the playoffs or maybe win one. I think, I know I'd sign up for that every single year.
But his contract, the incentives in it, I think you said, are structured.
All
structured around playoff wins, right?
Yeah. So it's like 13.5 or something what he's getting, and the extra $6 million is all playoff related. Getting into the playoffs, winning the playoffs, MVP, I guess, would be. You'd be in the playoffs. And so that stuff's, those are what they call not likely to be earned type of stuff, at least when it comes to the Steelers. So it's a cheap contract.
Well, it's a cheap contract, but that tells you, I think, that somebody, when they sat down to write out the terms of this deal, said, hey, if you can do all that, then yeah, we'll pay you for it. Absolutely. So yeah. There's,
more
maybe not.
Yes. You're going to get into the Super Bowl, win an MVP. We'll give you $6 million.
Yeah. We'll give you whatever you want. So somebody somewhere, whether it's Rodgers or his agent or Omar, said, hey, listen, you do all this. Yeah. We'll pay you for it. And there's a belief from somebody, maybe it's just Aaron Rodgers, that he might be able to pay off on some of that. He might be able to cash in, I should say, on some of that. Because it's written into the deal. It's written into the deal. If he wins X, you know, makes it to this level of the playoffs, he's going to get X amount of dollars. And you don't put that in a contract unless there's some level of belief or expectation that, well, if everything goes right, that's what we expect to happen.
Yeah. You would imagine that that's something that the Steelers would throw in there. I mean, I don't know if that would be Aaron Rodgers' agent saying, hey, if I win the MVP, you're going to give me a $1.5 million. I mean, come on. He's not going to win an MVP. We already know that. So it looks good. It looks really good on paper when you break it down like that. And it looks good for the agent and saying, hey, I got you $20 million when it's really like 12. And they got a lot of money to go out there and be able to spend money. Maybe on TJ Watt, but
yeah, funny you bring that up. Let's first talk about our friends at Nail Studio 2, sponsors of Cabali and Mac, and we appreciate them for being on board. Nail Studio, Roman numeral 2. So nailstudioii.com. Go there. You can book an appointment online. I don't know. Maybe it's your wife, your girlfriend, some significant somebody in your life. Tell them this is the place to go, right out there in McMurray, Peters Township, just past Donaldson's Crossroads, in that area, Lakeview Square, next to Juniper Grill in Peters Township, right out on 19. If you're in the South Hills, it's the place to go. They will take care of you, 724-941-4595. Guys, don't be ashamed to admit that maybe, you know, you might not be getting a manicure, but, you know, those feet, they're gnarly. They could get taken care of. You could head out there to nailstudio2.com. Gift cards always work as well. It's the summer. You're going to be heading off to the beach or the pool. You don't want the feet to look nasty. Your girlfriend, your wife, like I said, your significant other, she wants to look good. Nailstudio2.com, the place to go. Still looking for a couple good nail technicians as well. So if you know somebody who does a real nice job with nails, they'll listen to you at nailstudio2.com, 724-941-4595. We thank them for sponsoring.
Make sure you make sure you tell them that you heard it from us. I was talking to the old TJ the other day, part owner.
Yeah.
I think we saw some people down there, and I swear to God, it was like some very awkward looking guys, and they had to come from your shows.
Guys are wandering in.
Yes, that's who we bring in, the awkward male.
You're home for awkward males.
The awkward male is trying to get something for their wives or girlfriends. So tell them.
I like that we've cornered the market on that demographic.
Tell them we sent you and head on down there.
And try not to look so awkward.
No, look awkward. When you go in there and look awkward, they're like, ah. Here's a sucker. We're going to really sell something to this guy.
That's one of those Cabali and Mac listeners.
I think my 10-year-old's like, well, I want to get my nails done. I'm like, you're 10.
I mean, now you got a place to take her when you finally do. Maybe a couple years. I think you can wait just a little bit. But speaking of awkward, you like that transition there?
Still good like that.
You mentioned the TJ Watt absence. Mike Tomlin was asked about it as well yesterday at mini camp. Come on, Mike. Tell the people. Come on. Let's go, Mike. Go.
No. Certainly we'd like him to be here, but certainly not surprised by where we are. We've expressed a desire to get the business done. He has as well. And so we'll continue to work. We've been here before.
We've been here before. We know how this goes.
You haven't been there before because he's never skipped mandatory minicamp, but details, right? Specifics.
Well, I mean, they've been at this point in an offseason where they need to get a deal done with TJ. That part is nothing new, right?
Hey, I got some opinions here right now. Ooh, I think TJ is best defensive player in the league. I think they should pay him. But I also think the guy should be showing up to a mandatory mini camp where every other one of his teammates are while he's under contract. Just go out there, show your pretty face, then leave. I think he needed to be there. I don't think this will expedite the situation whatsoever. Like I said, I think he needs to be paid. And I think he should be get what he needs to be getting done. But I think he needs to be there. Well, as leader of the team, he needs to be there.
This, I think, is indicative of the fact that it probably has become a little more contentious than what we might have originally thought. And the sticking point here, obviously, well, not obviously, but I think, you know, the sticking point has to be, TJ, you're not getting any younger. And we're committed to you as a leader on this team, like you said, but we're not going to give you Myles Garrett, Max Crosby money. Like it's we're gonna pay you. You'll be taken care of. You'll get a decent guarantee on this thing, but we're not committing to paying you money beyond this year and next.
It could be a number of things. It could just be he wants 2 years guaranteed. They don't want to give him one. It could be the max that he just wants a buck more than Myles Garrett. I just know there was a pretty significant offer on the table. Take it for what you're worth, what the word significant means. But obviously it's not anywhere close to where he wants it to be, or he would not be holding out right now. Which means it could be just be in the details. It could be as simple as that.
But if it were just in the details and it were a matter of, hey, we've got the framework of this thing kind of, you know, built, but we've got to hammer out this detail and that detail, cross some T's and dot some I's. I don't know if you see him, like you mentioned, stay away from minicamp. I think that's a sign to me that it's a little more serious, unless the guy just had a trip to the pyramids in Egypt pre-planned, like somebody else we know a while ago, and said, hey, yeah, I'm not going to be there.
Is it true that Rodgers had, it was some weird date of the reason why he went to Egypt? He had that plan.
I don't know why he had to go to Egypt when he went.
It was like some kind of important date that he had. I don't know, but whatever. But if Troy Polamalu can show up, he can show up. If Chris Boswell, who shows up to nothing, just walks, comes strolling in the locker room for this when he's not going to even pick up a ball, TJ Watt needs to be there. I could see if he wasn't under contract, but he is under contract. And if you're sitting there trying to win a Super Bowl, I just don't think that sitting out of mini camp and not showing up expedites the situation whatsoever. It's going to get done when it gets done. You're going to get your money with what both you feel fit needs to be handed to you. You saying, I don't want to be there because I want to make a point. Maybe it's not that. Maybe I am totally wrong and he just wants to spend a couple more days with his young daughter. I think it's a daughter. But you know what? There's about a dozen other people on the team that have young kids too.
Yeah, and if we're going to criticize, and you're right, he's under contract. This other guy I'm bringing up was not under contract. But if we're going to criticize Aaron Rodgers for not getting things done sooner, then I think it's fair to criticize TJ Watt. It's not total apples to apples, but to criticize TJ Watt for not showing up when he is under contract, because I heard a lot of people say, we had Mike Logan on a few weeks ago who said basically, yeah, you know what? You got personal issues. Everybody's got personal issues, right? Darius Slay kind of said something similar without intentionally mentioning Aaron Rodgers. It's been mentioned multiple times over the last month. Hey, yeah, every guy has things going on in his life. He still shows up for work. And again, it was different with Rodgers because he hadn't signed a contract yet. But, you know, I totally understand. Like you said, you got a new family and you want to spend more time at home with them. That's great. Everybody wants to spend more time at home with their family, but you're under contract. And presumably working on the terms of an extension, it's fair to criticize TJ Watt for not showing up. And I do think for the last 2 months, we've said, don't worry about it. It'll get done. Don't worry about it. It'll get done. And maybe it's still worth saying, don't worry about it. It'll get done. But I think there's maybe a question mark thrown in there now about what things are going to look like between TJ Watt and the Steelers once it does get done. I'm not putting this on Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals type levels. That's been really contentious. But we're starting to get to that point where you wonder what the relationship between the player and the organization is going to be like once it does get done, when you have guys refusing to show up for stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far of him holding a grudge against the organization. As soon as he gets his money, everything's fine, right? In the way I look at it. I mean, Tomlin could have just said, dude, it's no big deal, whatever. But he made it sound like, you know, maybe he should be here as well. So I guess we're just going to have to stay tuned on it. Obviously, he's not going to show up the next couple of days. Now, say if it doesn't get done here by July 23rd.
Does he not come to camp?
I don't know. I thought for sure he would show up at minicamp. I mean, they could find him. They probably won't find him for not showing up to minicamp. They could find him $100,000, I believe, somewhere in that neighborhood. But I doubt that they'll eventually go through with that. But I thought he would show up to here. So if the contract's not done, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say he's not going to show up at camp. It could go either way.
I mean, this, if he were to hold out rather than hold in, which is the new thing that he did last time in trying to get an extension, that would be a big change in direction for TJ Watt.
Change this time right now. I mean, just not showing up to me. I know he's working his rear end off, and he's TJ Watt, and he has 100 sacks and blah, blah, blah. But that's not the point of the issue right now. The point of the issue of 106-year-old Cam Hayward's there, you probably should be there. That's all it is. Just show your – you know, sometimes you don't want to go to a company, a vet mac, but you're like, man, I just got to go show my face.
Yeah, it's like I said, everybody would love to sit at home and spend more time with their family or do whatever they enjoy to do outside of work, right? But you show up for work because you're scheduled to be there. And typically the word mandatory indicates you're supposed to be here. So while I'm not yet at the point where I'm worried about them getting it done before the regular season, we got a long way to go. We got 3 months.
Done.
I do think it's fair to wonder, you know, if this ends up becoming, I don't want to call it a stopgap deal, but like, for example, TJ Watt, there's no way he expects this to be his last contract in the NFL, right? He's still at the age where I'm sure he believes that he's got another 4 or 5 good years left in him, I would think. And at least, you guys always think they got a little more gas in the tank than maybe they really do. Whereas the Steelers may look at it and say, okay, you may feel that way, but we're only going to pay in, say, 2-year increments. You know, for right now, TJ, this is the last deal we're working on, and we'll take it as it comes in a few years. And TJ looks at it and says, well, no, I need more security than that because I'm going to be playing much longer. When we get beyond whatever this extension looks like, if it's not a 3-4-5-year deal, which I don't think it will be because I don't think the Steelers want to give them that kind of term. But if it's not that long, then we're going to be in this whole situation again in another 2 or 3 years. And again, TJ Watt may have, and the Steelers may have that taste left in their mouth from 2025 when he held out of minicamp and say, okay, you think you have one more deal left in you. Maybe they don't anymore. I mean, it really is, I think, sort of just delaying this timeline that a lot of Steeler fans already have in their head of TJ's past his prime. I don't think he's past his prime yet, but in 2 or 3 years, he could be. And the Steelers could be looking at it that way too. And I think contentious negotiations now, or sticky negotiations, whatever you want to call it, could set things up that when it comes time for him to sign what may be his final deal in a few years, it's not in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, all TJ needs to do is look at the history of the organization too.
Mm-hmm.
They'll take care of the guys that they want to take care of. Even if it is a 2-year deal, Look what they did to Cam Hayward. They were maybe he, you know, he'll be a Steeler as long as he wants. I think T.J. Watt would fit under that umbrella as well if he wanted to be that guy. Maybe it is something totally different. I mean, T.J. could be moody, right? We can say that he can be moody at times.
Cantankerous is a nice big word.
Maybe I'm just throwing it out there, just off the top of your head. Maybe he does want $1 more than Myles Garrett because he wants to say, Myles Garrett, every time you're talking crap on me, right here, man, I got buck more than you. Maybe it is something as petty as that.
Maybe he wants, like I said, the security of knowing that this may be where this is going to be where he ends his career. You know what I mean? And look, I don't think it's coincidence that when JJ is asked about this, he does his best to steer away from mentioning his brother specifically, but definitely talks about it in a way that you can tell he's pissed off about it.
Yeah. When he says to, you know, Pat on his show, it's guaranteed when he tells TJ, I mean, tells him same thing. Dude, they should have worked on you before. You're the best guy in the organization. Why aren't they paying you? Blah, 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 blah. They should make exceptions for you. And it's probably getting into his head. Once again, it's all speculation right now because the only thing we've heard from TJ was this. Whoop. Oh, this. But for his agent to send out that mass text message to the insiders an hour before minicamp started all at one time tells you that they wanted it out there before it even hit. They didn't want the Steelers to create the narrative, put it that way.
Well, and Jage is a guy who ended his career somewhere else. Like, I don't think
they're two different guys.
They're two different guys. I get it. I totally understand what you're saying. I'm not saying that just because XYZ happened with JJ that TJ's career is going to play out the exact same way. But I think JJ, if he was asked for some advice from his little brother, might be inclined to say, hey, you know what? If they're going to make this difficult for you, there's 31 other teams that are going to be interested in you. Why should you have your feet held to the fire by this organization if you really believe you got that much left in the tank and they don't want to commit to you for that long? Hey, you know, get this extension done and then be on your way. You know, if because again, to your point, the organization will look at a player, and they don't do it as much in recent years as they did, you can go back 10, 15, 20, 25 years, when they were always willing to let a guy go before he fell off the cliff, he crested the
boom. Guys.
And they might be looking at TJ that very same way.
I just don't feel that. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that they're worried about him falling off a cliff and getting hurt. What TJ got to understand, too, if he does play this season out and become a free agent this year, he got 17 games in about 6 months of, albeit very slightly, but throwing it all away. You know, we've seen people get hurt at very inopportune times. So how much is that worth, taking that chance of playing a season and not having any security, then getting the big bucks? So once again, I think I will rubber stamp it. This will get done. But I just don't know when. It could be July 20th. It could be September 7th. But the next big circle on the calendar you have to make is July 23rd. Does he show up or not? I don't know. I would say no. I would say yes, but I don't know what he wants.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the same man that predicted Aaron Rodgers would be the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback a couple months ago. So when he says something,
I think it was actually March 16th, I said something. But then I do believe a couple weeks ago that I actually told you the exact date.
You did. You honed in on a
then
date.
Then I yeeted you.
That sounds disgusting. You did. You called it. So credit where it's due. Golf clap for Kaboom for calling the Rogers thing.
Everybody knows, right? Everybody was saying, you know what, Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers had zero interaction with the Steelers for months. This is going to be terrible. All of a sudden, it's like, nah, they've talked a whole bunch since then.
So here you are, triple stamping your double stamp and saying TJ Watt will get done.
Yeah, and he'll probably. I would still say he doesn't get paid total gross money more than Mac. Oh, Myles Garrett. What am I saying, Mac? That's you.
I'm not getting Myles Garrett.
I was thinking Khalil Mac. Myles Garrett. But he will get his couple years guaranteed. And speaking of Myles Garrett,
yeah, like,
shut the hell up about your graveyard. You're the worst team in the league. You're getting paid a third of the entire salary cap, and your team stinks, and you're worried about putting Aaron Rodgers in your front yard graveyard. Dude, perspective.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. The dude got paid, and PFF thinks he's a Hall of Famer, and that's all that he cares about. Look, if the guy really cared about winning, like he apparently decided to care about for what? What was it, like 72 hours where he requested like a trade?
$4 million come across the table. It's like, right. Oh, hell with that.
No, that the guy wanted paid. He got paid. That's all he cares about.
Honestly, you got, if you're going to rank the teams right now, that is probably number 32, the worst team in the league. And you're talking crap on Aaron Rodgers and his graveyard. This is what comes to your mind first. I mean, am I the only one that thinks it's strange?
No, I think it's stupid, to be honest. Like,
quarterback situation. Your wide receivers stink. Your offensive line's average. Defense is terrible. Your coaching staff is either the coach of the year or the worst coach in the year or the worst coach in the league, depending on what year it is. You've had 106 quarterbacks since the year 19. When did they come back?
99, 2000. Mm-hmm. It tells you exactly, seriously, I know he's saying it in kind of a joking manner and that's all well and good, but like, it tells you what's really important to Myles Garrett. That dude, I'm convinced, would be totally satisfied that to sack Aaron Rodgers 5 times this year in 2 games, even if they lost both games 38-10.
Yeah.
Honestly,
he comes across as that guy.
It's ridiculous.
Or Sanders or Kenny Pickett's your starting quarterback. And if you're lucky, it's Joe Flacco. Shut up.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC. It's summer, which means your AC needs to work. If it's not working right, if it's kind of getting the job done, but just not good enough, or completely dead, you need to get a hold of our guys at Impact HVAC, 412-297-1852. Even if you think it's working all right, they'll come on out, give it a little tune-up, give it a little look-see, a little check, make sure everything is running well so that you don't have to worry about the AC dropping out in the middle of summer. And then in the dead of winter, too, they'll do the same for your furnace, all your heating and cooling needs. Impact HVAC. PGH on Facebook, or give them a call today at 412-297-1852. And thanks to them for supporting Kabali and Mac as well. So Rodgers era day 2 today at minicamp Kaboom. We'll look to see if he takes part in some of the team stuff, right?
Yeah, plus the offensive coaches will be talking. Arthur Smith, Zach Azzoni, all the fellas. Pat Meyer.
People love Pat Meyer.
Pat Meyer's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy.
Very nice guy. Danny Smith stole the show yesterday again.
What did Danny do?
Danny goes, hold on, I got to tell you something. He's talking to Brooke. He goes, I stopped and said, hey, Brooke, you need a ride? And I looked and it wasn't you.
Danny Smith pulling up alongside random women on the South Side, offering them rides.
National treasure. National treasure. He's just spectacular. He goes, that damn Aussie punter, man, they got broken bones. He don't give a shit. They're out there kicking. He goes, this guy kicks in between his kicks, and one almost hit me in the head. I'm like, who the hell is kicking that ball? I never saw a punter punt inside when he's not supposed to punt.
God, that guy.
And Cordero Patterson in the house yesterday.
Yeah, how many running backs do you need?
Not on the field, but he was in the house. I'm not quite sure this where this is all going.
All the running backs, all the tight ends, and just DK Metcalf out there running receiver drills. Which kind of flew under the radar, right? I know you talked about Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin and all that.
No, Roman dropped about four balls yesterday. I was like,
but DK's first full practice as a Steeler yesterday, too, officially being there.
I think he's supposed to talk to Tate at some point. If he calls me sir.
He calls everybody sir.
It's out of respect, and I deserve your respect.
Even if he is looking down at you from being 6 inches taller.
I'm like, hey, DK, how's that candy bars treating you?
He's a massive human.
I guess it's Skittles. I'm not quite sure.
Skittles. Get it right before you ask him about
Skittles
it.
Skittles is one of the more terrible candies around. I mean, that's just
what?
Awful. I hate Skittles.
What? How can you hate Skittles?
Because it's just like garbage.
They're delicious.
No, they're not.
They are.
No.
Jesus.
I'm a Smarties guy over Skittles.
Smarties?
I like Smarties.
Oh, my God.
I might be the only person that likes Smarties. I don't eat them, but I like them.
Well, then what do you like them for if you don't eat them?
Well, you know, they're not the most figure friendly.
Okay. I mean, no candy is. I mean, it's all sugar.
Maybe Almond Joy because it has nuts.
By the way, I appreciate the addition of the Karate Kid poster behind you there. You're filling out the office very nicely.
Yeah, I got to put that was the last second thing there. I'm going to have to get rolling here a little bit better.
Yeah, you got to fill out the wall. Maybe some Miyagi back there.
Not this. I got my old high school helmet.
Oh, look at that. The Leps. You got to get that mounted. Look at the face mask on that beauty. That is a lineman face mask.
This is what helmets look like when I played. Look at the inside of this crap.
That wasn't saving you from anything.
Oh, I had no ear pads, but I must have lost it.
That helmet.
1941 was built. It could have been. How terrible is that helmet? That used to hurt more than anything.
See if Rogers wants it. He likes the old helmet.
I should send him. I don't even know what brand this is.
Is it a
Riddell? It's a Riddell.
Riddell. All right. That's
on it, though.
That's going to do it.
What the hell does the warning say? Let's see. Oh,
it
shit.
Says, do not wear this. It will not save you from any brain injury whatsoever.
Look, I'm Mason Rudolph.
Okay, Put it on. Put it on.
No, it's not going to fit me.
Damn it.
Do not strike an opponent with any part of the helmet or face mask.
Do not use this helmet.
All injuries. Use this helmet at your own risk. Severe brain or neck injuries may occur accidentally while playing.
This helmet will save you from nothing.
Nah, it's not going to fit. There's no way it'll fit me.
Oh, you could get that on.
Mason Rudolph.
You might not get it off, but...
It's like a size 7 or something.
All right. That's going to do it for the first episode of mandatory mini camp season. We'll do it again on Friday.
It says 127.44 on it.
What the hell does that mean?
Sure, it could be made in 1944. I don't know.
Thanks again to all of our sponsors, the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for presenting Cabali and Mac. Thanks again to our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. If you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube to Cabali and Mac, you'll be entered into that drawing once we get to 2,500 for that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. So be sure to check them out as well. Be sure to come back on Friday when we'll wrap up mandatory mini camp and send Jens off into the summer with training camp. At that point, it'll just be 5 weeks away, something like that.
July 23rd.
Yep, July 23rd. We'll see if TJ Watt will be there for it. But Aaron Rodgers is here, and we'll see how it goes the next couple of days of minicamp. Again, we'll talk about it on Friday again with Yins. Thanks for joining us here, Yins, beautiful people, on Cabali and Mac. See